in studying Caleb, first of all, here I am thinking of the day that they brought my son out at the hospital. My very first thought was, wow, that kid needs a haircut. Really, believe it or not. But picture when they bring you, a lot of you guys have been there, they bring you this little baby. He's beautiful. You're like crying. And you're looking at this little baby and you're like, praise God. And, you know, and we dedicated him right there immediately and everything like that. And you're looking at this little baby and you think, the name. And we named him Josiah. We almost named him Caleb because I like the name Caleb. But anyways, do you know what Caleb means? Anybody? It doesn't mean just dog. It means like crazed dog, like wild mad dog. You know what I'm saying? How do you look at this little baby and you go, yeah, I'm going to name this guy Wild Dog? I don't know. Just a thought that I think like that. But let's turn to Romans 15:4. We're just going to read one scripture and then move on. This is a great scripture to look at from time to time as you go through the rest of scripture. Paul writes this in Romans 15:4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Let's pray. Lord, we want comfort. We want patience. We want to learn from your scriptures. Lord, we want to have hope. As we read through the scriptures, we read these men and study these men, we want to pull out the things, Lord, that these men exhibited, Lord, that we need in our lives. We were studying two great men of the Bible, and Lord, it was all about you. That's what they had. They had you. That's what we want. We want you. So, Lord, we don't even want to be here today without the Holy Spirit. We don't even want to do this without the Holy Spirit. So fill us with your Holy Spirit and speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as you look through the Bible, you know, I know you know this, you see men that were filled. The Bible is filled with men who were filled, but men in the Bible who laid aside their rights and they laid aside their liberties, they laid aside possessions, they laid aside positions for the sake of weaker brothers. And I see that in these two guys. And like Abraham, Jonathan, David, Moses, Caleb, Joshua, Daniel, all of them are examples of men who just willingly let go of these rightful possessions, these rightful positions, if they wanted, if they were told to. And they didn't demand their own way, and they prospered as a result. And I like that. I like to see the guy who isn't looking for the position get it, because he didn't want it. Because the Lord said, I want that guy for that spot, because he didn't pursue it. He wasn't looking for it. I can take that guy and do something with that guy. Both these guys were like that. So they didn't demand their own way and they prospered. And you know why? Well, in how many different ways do we see God tell these men, I am going to bring you into the land. I am going to give you the land that your fathers promised. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to give you children, whatever it is. I swore unto your fathers, you know, or any other blessing or any other promise. These guys took God at his word. Are we taking God at his word? Well, they believed God. I do this every once in a while in our church. Do you really believe this? Do you really believe this? Why do you get afraid? Why do you get scared? Why do you get nervous? Do we really believe this? They believe God. You know that you can believe God, right? We know that. He has never lied yet. He can't. So don't ever approach him like he might, or you think he's not going to follow through, or anything like that. Paul said, learn from their example. And if you look at this scripture, you can highlight the word patience right there. You can. Think of it in Romans 15:4. Because Caleb and Joshua, they had to have patience. Now they've got to travel through the wilderness 40 years with a bunch of people that are whining and complaining. Now, they didn't do that. They're traveling 40 years with the rest of the group because of their unbelief. And I find I would be complaining about the complainers. I got to do this because of those jerks. Think about it. Well, they don't. All the unbelief of all the others. That's patience. And that takes comfort, too. They had to take comfort from the Lord. It's written in here, too, Paul says, that you might have hope. Us. And Mark pointed out in Numbers 13 that Caleb, one of the, again, original 10 spies from Numbers 13, he stilled the people. He calmed them down and he said to them, let's go, let's possess the land. We are well able. I love that. I love that guy that does that. Hey, we are well able. You know, we could do this. We could do this with God. We are well able to overcome. But the other said, we're not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than us. So what? They are stronger than us. I watch a lot of sports too, like the other guys. I love hockey, and I've watched hockey teams, football teams, baseball teams beat the stronger team because of heart. You know, they had heart. You know, I'm not talking necessarily there were Christians on the teams and stuff, but they really had heart. They're stronger than us. I don't find that as a good enough reason. When I read the scriptures, which were, again, written aforetime for our learning, as Paul says, I see those who made an imprint on history in this book. They were the ones that could say, I believe that God is going to do great things. These two guys did that. I believe God's going to do great things because he gave us his word. I think that's pretty simple. Joshua and Caleb said, don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land, for they are bread. I like that. They are bread. These giants, they're bread. They're bread for us. We'll eat them up. I like that. Bread or food is what he means. You know, sometimes I think of bread. I don't eat a lot of bread anymore, but when I was younger, I used to take a loaf. My grandmother would make Italian bread about this big, and I'd take that whole thing warm, and I would like rip it apart and dip it in her sauce. Oh, man. I could eat the whole loaf of bread with sauce. I used to take it and rip it so that I could make spoons out of the bread, you know, and just, the next thing you know, it's like, it's all gone. Remember Urkel? Did I do that? You know, it's all gone, right? All the bread and everything. Well, it's food. It nourishes and it gives strength. So as a result, they're actually going to be stronger in battle for the future. They've taken this in. And Joshua and Caleb, they fear God, but the others fear the giants. Simple. If you fear God, I don't think you'll fear the giants in your life. Now, these other eight faithless spies, they measured the giants against their own strength. And here, Joshua and Caleb, they measured the giants against God's strength. God's strength. Again, if you remember Numbers 14:24, God describes Caleb, and think about this, how would you like God to say this about you? How would you like God to describe you this way? Because this is the key verse regarding this guy, and Pastor Mark shared this earlier. It said, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. You know, and I've seen a lot of guys start out on fire, maybe even filled with the Holy Spirit. They're young and they start out and they, I'm going to do great things for God. Lots of guys. But what's really admirable is finishing strong. Here I am thinking, okay, I'm the last guy. I don't know if I'm the oldest guy. But here, finishing strong, I was just talking to my son about this week. We were talking about Solomon. He didn't finish strong. You know, too many distractions in his life, too many things going on. He didn't really hit the finish line full stride, finishing strong. Walking in the Holy Spirit is the only way you're going to finish strong. How many guys here are under 20? How many guys here are under or in between 20 to 30? Wow. How many 30 to 40? How about over 50? Wow. All right, you guys especially. No, everybody, really, because I remember being young, you think you're invincible, you think you're going to be just great, you think 20 years down the line, you're going to be even more on fire and more in love with the Lord and know so much more and have experienced so much, all that stuff. I hear guys say, I'm never going to get fat, you know, today, now it's like, I'm going to take a nap, but... But many of the men here in the Bible, they didn't finish strong. And there's a lot of cheerleaders out there today, I find. There's a lot of guys, they may be younger, there's a lot of cheerleaders, and they're out there. And if the Lord tarries, what are they going to be like when they get older? I wonder about that. I watch them, and I think, man, that guy's really full of the Holy Spirit. I hope he stays that way. Hope he stays that way. Well, here, these two guys, 45 years later, Joshua and Caleb, they get together. Now let's turn to Joshua 14, please. They come together in Joshua 14. And Joshua is dividing the land among all the tribes. And we are told, I don't think anybody read this, but we're told in Numbers 32:12, the Lord said, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, they have wholly, wholly, wholly followed the Lord. That means with and in everything. With all their heart, they've followed the Lord. Well, if you look at Joshua 14, verse 6, it says here, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Remember that, Joshua? You know, how could he forget? Really, you think about that. How could he forget? And I can picture Joshua saying to an 85-year-old Caleb, dude, we made it. Out of the original 3 million, we made it, man. We made it. We saw so many casualties on the way. All our friends are gone. You ever meet old people who say that? All my siblings are gone and all my friends are gone and I don't have anybody anymore. Well, these guys, they've got each other. The other 8 spies are gone, and boy, have we seen a lot of casualties. So Caleb, you can take any territory you want. You deserve it. You've earned it. You know what? Why don't you just retire, buddy? I'll give you whatever plot of land you ask me for. But what does Caleb say? Well, he turns to Joshua, and he says, quick, Josh, name one of the other 8 guys. Quick. And Joshua can't do it. Nobody remembers any of those guys. Can you name any of them? Here they are. Quick, name one of those guys. And I just, you know, I'm being facetious, but I'm thinking here that they can't. Nobody remembers those guys. Nobody ever remembers guys like that. And of course, at 85 or so, Joshua probably says, I don't know. I don't remember any of those guys. Nobody does. Well, Caleb says in verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. He brought it across. He brought out what was in his heart. His heart had been given wholly to the Lord. So it was going to be edifying, whatever he brought out. Caleb didn't get the plague that took the lives of all the unbelievers or the unbelieving spies 45 years earlier. And he made it every day through the wilderness up to this point, the wanderings. He'd survived how many years of war in Canaan? Plus all that complaining. He'd gotten through all of that knowing that he hadn't let God down. I don't see anywhere where Caleb does anything that the Lord would frown upon. He hadn't let him down. Joshua hadn't let the Lord down either, really. And I read earlier in Romans 15:4 that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. I've been praying all week that we walk away from today challenged. I like to challenge guys because the media and wherever you want to look, they're dumbing guys down. They're watering guys' authority down. They're making the father look like the buffoon. They're just taking our authority away. We have a God-given authority and a God-given right as men to rule in our houses and train up our children and everything else, to lead people, and they're taking that away, and they're dumbing it down. They're watering it down. Men aren't challenged anymore. And you know what? I'm like the other guys. I want to sit in my easy chair and face off. 7 o'clock, man. I'm there. And I love popcorn, too. Ask my son. Popcorn hockey game. Let's go. So I see this, too. They were written for our learning. And I was praying all week long, Lord, challenge men. Send them back out there, different guys. Challenge them. And I prayed that, too, with the guys this morning. So as you read the Word of God, do you realize that the most successful people are those who wholly give their lives, give themselves over to something? And my question is, will you give yourself wholly over to following the Lord your God? Will you do that? You know, that's up to you. That's the question for you to answer. But why not do that? Why not take that time today and say, I am. Now is the time and I'm going to do this. I'm going to give myself wholly to the Lord God from this point on because I haven't. Why not draw a line in the sand and say, this is the day, now? Why not? The most successful people have given themselves over to the Lord their God wholly. And plus, too, you know, we've looked at Joshua, and if you read the book of Joshua, I like God's definition of success in Joshua chapter 1. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. In other words, don't get your eyes off the Lord. He will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on Him. Straight ahead, not to the right or the left. Isaiah 26:3. Don't depart from this book, it says in Joshua 1. Speak it. Meditate on it. All the time. And like Jeff said, do it. Do it all. Do all of it. And that everything that it says, and you'll make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. And I have to add, look it. I know we're doing it, and I know our wives can do it, and I know our kids do it. I see kids doing it all the time. There aren't any shortcuts. Why are we always looking for shortcuts? This whole process with the Lord, there's no shortcut. I just said everything that needs to be done. There's no shortcut to that. There isn't. Kids, you give them a chapter to read with a test at the end. They go right to the test. You know, I want to get through this. Well, then they can't figure out the answers because they haven't read the chapter. You sit them back down. There's no shortcut here. Read the chapter. Do the quiz. Well, verse 8, Caleb says, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God." Can you say that? Think of the influence you can have. If you wholly follow the Lord your God, the influence. They had a negative influence, these other guys. But the great people in the Bible are actually very simple. Did you ever check them out? They're really simple. They're not complicated at all. Caleb didn't get in with the rebellious, and he didn't get in with the grumblers. And immediately that makes me think of Psalm 1. When you read Psalm 1:1, "Blessed's the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful." And there's a progression there, or I should say a digression. If you look at it, first the guy's walking, right? There's some movement, but it's not good movement. Then he's standing. He's still. Nothing's really going on. The next thing you know, he's sitting. And if you're sitting, that means you're not planning on moving very quick, or maybe not even at all. But he didn't do that. He didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. Verse 9, Caleb says, "And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." You're going to get tired of me saying that. Wholly followed the Lord my God. But it's in here all these times. If you want the recipe for a long life, if you want the recipe for a good life, then here it is. Caleb was a man who wholly followed the Lord God. Back in Psalm 1 verse 2, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." Very key. Very important. Same thing that God told Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. They obeyed God. You know what? A faith that never wavered enabled Caleb to lay hold of a strength that never weakened. Think about that. But it's the power of God. Listen, you guys, Caleb's God is our God. He is. You ever think of that? You read this and you think, this guy's different and he had a different relationship with God and God was different back then. God's never changed. It's the same God. It really is. This is not a complicated guy. Remember that. Verse 10. Look at this. "And now," this is important, "and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now," he says it again, "lo, I am this day 85 years old." And Caleb repeats those words, "and now," which means that he knows that now is the time, now's the time for God to make good on his promise. Now. See, he knows. He's counting on it. Do you ever challenge God? I mean, God, it says this in your word. Now's the time, Lord. Let's see it. And I do that with people that I'm praying for to get saved. Come on, Lord, you're the only one who can save them. I'm praying in your name. I'm praying according to your word. I'm praying according to your will. You're the Savior. I challenge him because he said so. I think he likes it. And he's saying, "and now," which means that he knows now's the time for God to make good on his promise. And then in the next line, I like what Caleb says, kind of like he gets ahead of himself here, just in case there's any objection, "and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." You know, and he doesn't say, except for, those days when my bursitis acts up, or except for when, he doesn't say, there's no exceptions here. I like this. And I don't know how old he looks or whatever. I find a guy even like Samson. There's never a description of Samson because I don't think Samson had to have big, gigantic muscles. It was God. I don't know what Caleb looks like, but I'm as strong now as I was then. Well, David tells us, Psalm 103, verse 5, that God satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I read somewhere where every so many years, an eagle loses everything. You ever hear this before? They lose everything and they start all over again. They're like completely renewed. I never knew that. They go off somewhere. I know, some eagle club or whatever, but and they're completely renewed. I find that interesting. Well, Caleb waited, and now God will do as he said. Isaiah 40, verse 31. We all know it. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall not run and be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They shall. You notice how many shells are in there? Do you think God can go back on that one? You know what? They shall not faint. And I find that in Luke 18:1, if you're praying, you're not going to faint. That's the way I take that scripture. Are you praying? Are you faint? Are you getting weak? Are you getting tired? Do you want to cop out of this race? Do you? What's going on? Are you praying? We're not praying. I know nobody in here is praying like we should. And I'll be the first one to stand at the top of that line. But if we're praying the way we should, then we're not going to faint. But even though he's advanced in age and his strength is undiminished, he's still focused. Absolutely, his mind is still sharp. At 85, he's leading the fight, or he wants to lead the fight against not just any enemy, but against the Anakim. Now, these guys are terrorizing other people. Absolutely, terrorizing them. They're just having their way with people. They'll come in and overpower your whole town. But this is how God wants us to be in our spiritual life as we advance in years, as we're growing older. We're growing older, but never weaker. That's not the idea. Because we have Jesus, right? Paul in his weakness went to Jesus. He was made strong. Jesus isn't getting any weaker just because you are. Are we going to him? Are we counting on him even as we're getting older? Is he really your strength? Is he really the source of strength? He goes on, verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. And Anakims were the descendants of Anak. They were a remnant of Nephilim, which means giants. These were big dudes, okay? Bigger than our brother over here. Big dudes. I mean, giants. Now, Joshua, he would have given Caleb anything he could have wanted. Here's Caleb. I don't want a quaint kibbutz down by the Galilee. You know, I don't want a condo over on the Med. Give me the mountain where the giants are. This is commendable, isn't it? I like this guy. Give me the mountain where the giants live. Why? You know why? He's still hungry for bread. They're bread to me, man. I'm still hungry. Now, have you ever thought that when you pray the words, Father, give me this day my daily bread, that he might give you Anakims? I mean, do we think like that, that he might give you Anakim? Probably not. I mean, that's not the first thing I think of. Probably not you guys either. And I say that because we complain when trials come, don't we? We complain. We want to moan. You know how we are. We complain. Why is this happening to me, Lord? Why do I have to go through this? Why am I facing giants in my life? But in reality, I think these situations or these people that we complain about are the very things that God wants to work through to strengthen us. And you guys know this. I know you guys know this. But the things that seem so big and intimidating are like the Anakim. If we're wise like Caleb, then start thinking, well, Lord, you put these things in my life. You put this in my path. So I guess they're here to make me stronger. They're bred to us. And you're asking, you're probably thinking, you know, yeah, sure. How can you ever even think something like that? Well, Caleb tells us how at the end of verse 12. He says, look at this. He says, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Wow. Now, I really don't believe that he says this with any doubt at all. I know it says, if so be the Lord. It's not, oh, I hope he's with me. That's not it. Not at all. Actually, this is Caleb giving glory to God. And really what he means is, I have no confidence in my flesh. Not at all. I'm completely aware of my own insufficiency. But does Caleb have doubt here? Do you really think he doubts? I don't. Not at all. Nope. Listen, Caleb had been spared from the plague that killed the others, the unbelieving spies 45 years earlier. He'd been preserved during the wilderness march. He'd made it through I don't know how many wars, years of war in Canaan. And he knew that God wouldn't have kept him alive, promising him a reward for his faith only to give him over to the Anakim, would he? You know what I mean? He knows, I'm not going to die here. They're not going to get me. I'm going on God's promise. He's not going to give me over to the Anakim now. I think Mark alluded to that earlier. He's not just going to take you and put you somewhere and say, okay, you're on your own, bud. Praise the Lord, because I would have been on my own a long time ago. I'd still be out there. So what if they're giants? I want to say that again. So what if they're giants? They were on his land, and he would drive them out by the strength of God. They're on my land. He still saw things through the eyes of faith and not as they appeared outwardly. So this was the secret of his abiding strength and his amazing success. God is with him. He wasn't about to retire, even though he's 85 years old. He's not going to retire until he possessed his possessions. So Joshua, verse 13, blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. And if you think about this, if you can remember back in the book of Genesis, back in Genesis that Abraham went to Hebron, which means basically communion or fellowship. And it's a place of fellowship. And Caleb has fellowship with God. And now he wants to stay in the place of fellowship. That's the way I see this. Hebron. Now, again, it's not about a place. You don't have to come here to fellowship with God. You don't have to go to a church or the temple. The true worshipers worship him in spirit and in truth. The true place the Lord wants to dwell and fellowship with you is in you. But this symbolizes fellowship. So Caleb wants to fight. He wants to fight for Hebron. It means something to him. He wants to fight. I think Caleb has what Oswald Chambers calls spiritual grit. I like that term, spiritual grit. When I played hockey, they would say, you gotta be one of those grit guys in the second period when it's getting late in the second period, or when you got a lead in the final period. The guy will go in the corner and dig it out. The guy will hold it. The guy that will stand in front of the net, the grit. You might get hurt. You might get smashed. You might have to smash somebody else. You know, the grinders, they call them. Spiritual grit. He could have asked for an easy place, but he knows that these enemies have to be faced. And he figures, I might as well be the one to do it. Do we do that, or do we say, you know, if I stay over here, maybe somebody else will jump in before me? I like to be the person that says, you know what, I might as well be the guy who does this. You know, and sometimes you do that, somebody will come in and take your place or whatever, but I'm finding, I think we need to be challenged on this, you guys. I think we're willing to take a second seat a lot, too many of us. Listen, he doesn't leave the work to somebody else. He could have, especially at his age. You know, well, my back hurts, or I got this war wound, man, you know, and I think I'm just going to sit this one out. Hey, I just got ESPN. Face off at 7. Really? So, I think Caleb, he's going to end up with the hardest task of all. Verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day. Hey, you know what? Hebron was situated on the top of a really rugged mountain. Picture that, on top of a mountain. So imagine the farming too. Now he's going to go up there to live, and he's going to need food, and he's going to need crops. So there's some work involved here. It's a really rugged mountain. Imagine the farming. Imagine clearing the rocks and clearing out the boulders. This isn't just a picnic up there. It's hard soil, so it's way more than just fighting giants. And this isn't, you know, this is going to be a lot of work for anybody, let alone a guy who's 85. So Hebron, again, though, it happened to be the most powerful stronghold of the enemy. So probably the strongest of the enemy are up there, too. I mean, we could keep going with this. This is a formidable task ahead of this man. But this was where Abraham pitched his tent, and this is where God spoke to Abraham face to face. You know, think of it that way. Abraham received the promise for this very land right there. Wow, it has meaning, too. Hebron, again, it means fellowship. It means love, and it means communion, and that's what Caleb cherishes. Verse 14, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Trust like that never goes unrewarded. You know what? Satan hates the guy that wants to go to the top of the mountain. He hates that guy that's burning to get to the top of the mountain, that has the heart to go further, to go all the way up to the top. Satan hates that guy. Think about that. He presses on. He'll convince you that it's fine in the valley, Jim. Hang out here, man. It's cushy. It's easy. Grab a comforter. Get the popcorn. And believe me, I want to. Really. Stay in the valley. It's fine. Come on, man. You're busy. Or better yet, retire, dude. Lay low. Take it easy. You know, I remember, Mark, you probably remember too, what is it, about a year and a half ago, we had dinner with Pastor Chuck, right? And I'm sitting at the table and Chuck's right there in front of me. And he's not super talkative. You got to ask him questions. He's not super outgoing. He's not like the life of the party, but he'll talk to you all you want him to if you ask him questions. So I said something to him, and I forget what my question was, but his comeback was, well, what am I going to do, retire? And I think he was 85 when he said that. And I loved it because he picked on another guy about semi-retiring, and which he really didn't. But I find that interesting because here, you know, the last time I really had any time that I could sit with Chuck, he's saying, I'm not retiring. And he was 85. I find that awesome. And he didn't. Again, Caleb, he's not satisfied with a low-level, lame fellowship. He wants all he can get. Are we settling? Well, this is okay. Like Mark said, I appreciate that. I've been like that before. Check off the box. Okay, Lord, I'm out of here. I did what I was required to do. Or do you want more? I love that story about Joshua staying in the tabernacle when Moses had left. That's why Joshua was the man he was, desiring more fellowship with the Lord. I want to be in his presence. Isn't that the best time you have all day? I think it is. He's not satisfied with that low level fellowship. He wants the top of the mountain. I can see him saying, I want the peak view. I pray things like this. And about a year and a half ago, we got a new house, which I never thought I'd ever have again. You know, we were up doing ministry in Canada for 7 years. I never thought I'd own a house. And the Lord gave us a house on Peak View Drive. And I'm like, wow. But if you look at this too, there's a lot more work to do. And Caleb's the kind of guy who's saying, let's do it. What if all of Israel had a heart like Caleb? Whoa. What if nobody in Israel had a heart like Caleb? Whoa. Think about that. But again, Caleb's secret's simple. He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. There was a total commitment in Caleb's life. Verse 15, and the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now this man, Arba, was a great giant. He was a great warrior among the native giants there, and he was known for his remarkable strength. He was known for being one of the largest of the giants, his remarkable size, too. Look at chapter 15, Joshua. In verse 13, it says, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Joshua gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, Talmai, the children of Anak. And you know, Caleb's rewards include complete victory. From this verse, you find out that of all the other people who received the inheritance of the land, Caleb was the only one successful in getting them all out of his land. The only one. All out of his land, he got them all out. Because I tell you, this is sad, too. At the end of the book of Joshua, it's kind of sad because you read over and over again about the other tribes that they were not able to drive them out of the land. They were unsuccessful. They could not drive them out. Verse 15, and he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sepher. Some of the cities, like Debir and Hebron, had to be taken more than once because of the guerrilla warfare. You know, there were still remnants in there. So some of these cities, Debir, Hebron, and so on, they had to be taken more than one time And there was a lot of guerrilla warfare amongst the Canaanites. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Achsa, my daughter, to wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Achsa, his daughter, to wife. Now, I believe that it would be a real honor and privilege, if you think about this, to marry into this family, wouldn't it? Even if this is his nephew. What an honor and a privilege it would be to marry into this family here. I think this is a really good test. How else would you find a sufficient son-in-law? How else would you know this guy is the right guy, I think, anyway? How else would you qualify for a family like this? You know, I'd imagine growing up as Caleb's daughter, you're going to really be careful about what kind of spiritual head, what kind of spiritual leader you're going to have from now on. You've had Caleb as a leader of your household. You've been following him as your head pastor, as your leader, the head. Are you going to settle when it comes to that? I don't think so. And I want to ask you guys, do your wife or your kids have to settle for what they're getting in the leader that they have in their house? What kind of leader are you? Are you the leader that they should have? I don't want to say deserve, but are you the leader that you can be? Are you cutting them short? Would you want to send your kids out in the world thinking that I was never the leader that I should have been? My wife looks at me and I'm lacking. What kind of leader am I? I thought about that a lot this week. And if you want to change, then change. Why not change? Why not be a man like this man? You set your heart wholly after following the Lord your God. From now on, leaning on the Lord, praying, a man of prayer, interceding for your family like Job did. Daily. I was talking to a brother out there, getting up in the morning. How early do you get up? I get up at this time. Well, so do I, and I have to. It's the best time of the day. I get up in the morning, and I start praying for everybody else. I love being with the Lord like that. I love spending time with the Lord like that. You're going to grow, and so are the people around you. And he will make you the leader you want to be, but do you want him to take you and change you like that? Can you follow him with everything you have? Do you have that kind of heart? What if you become a man that they respected because you wholly followed the Lord your God? You know, another verse to consider is Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 36. There the Lord says, "Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see the promised land, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children." And it says again at the end of that verse, "because he hath wholly followed the Lord." Deuteronomy 1, 36. Now, with all the information we have on this guy, think about this guy, Caleb. He's loyal, he's faithful, he's courageous, he's humble, he's devout. He has to be a good husband and father then, doesn't he? I would think so. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And he's doing that. I think he's got to be a good husband and a father too, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. And God blesses guys like this so much that they have extra to give away, that they have something to spare, I find. So in verse 18 here it says, "And it came to pass, as she," that's Achsa, "came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off of her ass, and Caleb said unto her, 'What wouldest thou?' Who answered," or she asks, "'Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water.' And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs." He gives her not only the upper springs, but he gives her the lower ones too. Now earlier I had quoted Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful." Verse 2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." And I know that Caleb was like that. He had to be like that. Psalm 1 verse 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." This is Caleb. Caleb was able to give these newlyweds the upper springs and the lower springs because he was like this tree planted by the rivers of water. He was. "That bringeth forth his fruit in his season." The blessings in his life overflow to other people. I like that. That's what will happen with you. Are the blessings in your life overflowing on others? Are you so full of living water that it's splashing all over the people that get close to you? Fill me, Lord, with this living water. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. I've been saying to our church, you know, the old Calvary Chapel line is, fill me up, Lord, because I leak. We all leak. No, fill me up because it's splashing out of me all over everybody and I need a new resupply. Well, the blessings in his life also overflow to other people. And he had the power to open springs of spiritual blessings to others. I like that. And bear fruit. Don't you want to pray, Lord, make me like this? Don't you want to pray, please, Lord Jesus, make me like that. Make me a man after your own heart. If there's anything in you that makes you afraid to pray that, it's the enemy. It's fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Where's Jesus in your life? He's perfect love. What are you fearing if you're holding back? Oh, if I pray that he's going to send me to Africa, so what? That's where he wants you then. But if I pray that, I'm going to be in a hut down in South America. You know what? If that's where he wants you, you ain't going to be blessed anywhere else. Think about it. But do you want to pray that? Verse 20 says, this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. And can you imagine how different our homes would be? Think about this. If we really believed that the trials that come our way and the giants that are coming at us, the giants that rise up before us are actually beneficial to us. Think of the change. If we could just eat them up in faith like bread. Why not? Here's another thing that I keep talking about at church a lot lately. Our God's too small. I can go up to somebody and talk to them and walk away going, your God's really puny. I'm sorry. What kind of God are you showing people? When they leave you, what do they think of your God? Is he gigantic? Is he everything? Does his love go from here to eternity? Because it does. Or is he sort of encapsulated in this little thing you carry around and, you know, yeah, my God, you know, he works from 8 to 5. And what's he like? I think how we project God is too small. I think he's way too small. If we could just eat these things up, these giants, these problems like bread. More trials, bring them on, Lord. If this is what you're doing to make me stronger, bring it. Another difficulty. All right, Lord, why not? If it's going to teach me, if it's going to strengthen me, then we could all say, like Caleb did twice in Joshua 14:10. He said, and now behold the Lord. What if you did that? The next problem. Okay, now behold the Lord. Okay, Lord, you're on. You're up. Lord, I'm trusting you. And now, behold the Lord. Do we say that? Do we think like that? I was listening to a radio program the other day, and I forget who it was, but the pastor said that a lady came to church. She's sick. And she says, Pastor, you need to pray for me. I am. Well, Pastor, I've been sick. I know. We've been praying. What have you been praying for? Well, we've been praying the Lord gives the doctors wisdom, that you have strength, that you have courage, that you face this, that you get healed. She goes, great. Now pray that I get everything out of this and I don't miss anything that he's trying to show me through this. What a lady. I thought, whoa, I want what he's trying to show. He's trying to teach me here. It's not like, why are you doing this, God? And okay, everybody, please pray. It's like, I don't want to miss anything that he's trying to show me in this thing. And I thought, she's eating it up like bread. You know what? She knows. And now observe the Lord. I like this about people like that. God will come to your aid, won't he? You know what, though? I like what A.W. Tozer says. A.W. Tozer says, you know what? God doesn't have to come. If you're wholly following the Lord your God like you're supposed to, he's already there. I love that. That just woke me up the other day. Oh, I needed that, Lord. Call upon the Lord. You know what? He's already there unless you've chased him away somehow. You've grieved his Holy Spirit or you've quenched him or something. You wholly follow the Lord your God, then he's close at hand. He doesn't have to come. He's already there. In our church, we're going through the book of Numbers, and I remember talking about this right off the bat. Boy, these people are going to complain. They might take a week off, but they're going to come right roaring back and complain. And that's all they do is complain. Complain, complain. Think of what they've seen, how they've seen the presence of God. They've seen miracles and everything. Well, here we are Wednesday nights, and we're looking at that. And you know what we've seen? Most people are going to die in the wilderness. Most people are going to die in the wilderness. I think Christians, too, they're just going to die in the wilderness. They may be going to heaven, but they're going to die in the wilderness. They are. Because we ask questions. If God really loves me, then why is he doing whatever he's doing? If God really loves me, how come this giant is coming at me now? Why? Why not look at it like, okay, Lord, what do you got for me? I don't want to miss anything. I want to eat this up like bread. Okay, and now behold the Lord. And I'm thinking, I know, maybe one of you is thinking right now, yeah, that's really cool. Nice pep talk. Where'd you get this cheerleader dude? Well, these guys were like that. These guys believed this. These guys believed God. They trusted God like that. How else did they do these things that they did? Well, I've been praying too. I know there are going to be guys that are like this. Maybe it is only 2 out of 10. And I don't like those odds. That's 1 out of 5. I think it's even less today. But maybe there will be guys like this. 2 of us out of 10 are going to listen to this and really take it to heart. But I pray that I might be one of them. And I'm praying that you might be one of them too. And I've been praying this all week because, and I'm going to say this, I hope, for the last time. I want to challenge guys. I don't think we're being challenged. And I think society is just comfortable with wherever you are right now. They're fine with you. You know what? You turn it up a little bit and you go to the top of the mountain, you're going to start ruffling feathers and everything. But God's up there. He's with you on that mountain. And he wants your fellowship. Satan's going to do everything to keep you in the valley and to keep you down here and keep you on a low level relationship with the Lord and everything. But don't settle for that. And I hope that, I hope we can all do this. I hope we can all say, you know what? Pass the tomato sauce because I smell bread. Giants are coming. I smell bread. Pass the tomato sauce. Why not? I've been thinking a lot about it this week. And when you look at guys like this, they were not any different than you. You know, and they pursued the Lord with everything they had. So I want to encourage everybody, if you want to be like these guys, stand up right now. Why not? I want to pray for everybody in this room. You know what? Look around. If somebody's sitting down, pull them up. Why not pray? Why not pray that we would be like this? As I was sitting over here earlier and I was listening to Mark and Jeff and Mark, I thought, Lord, please, please, I know how we are, especially guys. It's going in one ear and it'll go right out the other and we'll go home and our wife won't even notice anything different about us. Our kids won't say, gee, something's changed. They won't notice a thing. I don't want it to be going through our ears and going out the other side and we just keep going on the way we were. Let's not do that, right? Let's pray. Let's pray right now. Father, we want to pray that we would be men who wholly follow after the Lord our God, who's the same God that Joshua knew, the same God that Caleb knew. Father, I pray that we would do all we can to go to the top of that mountain. Lord, there might be giants on the mountain or on the way up. There might be rocks and boulders and everything else we need to clear. There's work to be done, but we want to go to the top of the mountain. We want that fellowship, unabided fellowship, Lord, with you. Lord, we're willing to pay the cost. So I pray, Father, that we would be like Caleb. We wouldn't be getting weaker as we get older. We'd be getting stronger. The fight would come back in us, Lord. You would fill us and baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray right now, anyone who has never asked for and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they would do that now. Lord, we ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you would come upon each and every man here and fill them, baptize them, Lord. Set them on fire. And Lord, I pray that we would be constantly being filled. We would be being filled with the Holy Spirit. An active thing, Lord, we can ask for it over and over and over as much as we need. So Lord, use these guys here today. We've been challenged. We hear your voice. Father, I pray if we need to get up even earlier in the morning to spend that time with you or stay up later at night, we would. Lord, that's what going to the top of the mountain requires. So Father, each guy here, I pray your blessing on them. I pray your blessing on their marriage. I pray your blessing on their families. I pray your blessing on their jobs. I pray for their witness. Wherever they go, whatever they do, whoever watches them, they observe something different in this man, and they cannot help but ask, what is it about you? What's your secret? And Lord, then we can tell them it's Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.